We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
With everyone fighting for attention, how can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy, with Constant Contact. Constant Contact's award-winning marketplace platform has helped millions of small businesses stand out, stay top of mind, and see big results fast. It's okay if you don't know much about marketing. Constant Contact's writing assistant tools and automation features help you craft messaging and say the right things at the right time. I use this to help write and send my email newsletters, and you should too. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.
The baseball season is go, go, go. It's nonstop, relentless for every night, six straight months, and then hopefully another month in October. You also have work, friends, family, and a million other things going on. That's when you reach for a Coors Light. It's made to chill. There's only one beer out there that's literally made to chill, and that's Coors Light. I mean, the mountains on the bottles and cans even turn blue when your beer is cold. Is there anything better than opening up your refrigerator after a long day, seeing that icy cold Coors Light can or bottle in your fridge? The answer is no, there's nothing better. That's why when it's time to chill, you choose Coors Light. It's mountain cold refreshment made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So that's why when you want to hit reset, reach for a beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. And as always, celebrate.
We are breaking down all aspects of Yankee baseball. This is the Bronx Pinstripe Show with your hosts, Andrew Rotondi and Scott Reinen. Let's go.
Hey guys, got a different episode for you today. Had some good times and some very good conversation with our friends over at Nick's Film School, John and Andrew. The day before opening day, it was Tuesday this week, and the episode went out on their feed on Wednesday, and we're dropping it today just because it's an off day, and we had some really good conversation. It was a lot of fun, not all about the Yankees, but for the most part around baseball and New York. We actually did a ranking of all of the eight New York professional sports teams, which I thought was a fun conversation. And these guys were talking to me and asking me about the, you know, the different rivalries in the Yankees world at this point right now. And so I get my feedback on that and a lot of different, you know, just things on the team, what's coming this year and the sport of baseball in general. But it was a lot of fun. You know, I think going over to some of these other New York shows, especially from different sports, is always fun to see the different mindsets and how different fan bases approach their teams. And, you know, obviously there are a lot of Knicks fans that are Yankees fans that are Knicks fans, and Knicks fans have been suffering for a long time now because the team has been pretty terrible, but, they have a little bit of light and so we caught them at a good time, and this was a lot of fun. So we're putting that on our feed as well. Also a fellow Blue Wire podcast, always nice to do some crossover with those guys as well. But a couple more things. Yeah. Opening day yesterday. You know, obviously not what we wanted. Definitely want the win, especially with Gerrit Cole on the mound. But if I'm looking for, if I'm going glass half full, looking for some positives, our boy Gary Sanchez, you know, you can't have much of a better start than what he looked. Two-run shot, had some good defense, threw a guy out. So he looked good, and I'm glad he's getting off to a hot start. That's a necessity, I think, for for him to come back and have a rebound year and hopefully a monster year, what he's capable of. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. But hopefully he can continue that. Yankees left a ton of runners on base. Unfortunately, that has been the story for this team for a very long time. Way too many strikeouts, not enough bats to ball. One of the guys that I'm hoping is going to change the lineup around a little bit and give them more contact, give them more of the ability to, you know, spray the ball around the field. Obviously, DJ LeMay who does that, but Clint Frazier had a good day, you know, a couple hits, really good walk to get the Yankees into position to win that game in the, I think it was seventh or eighth inning, but the bats just could not come around and you know, get that big hit. Shit, they even needed a fly ball or a hot ground ball somewhere, not at a position player playing in, but could not get the job done. Going back on Saturday and Sunday, hopefully going to take the next two because from here, really, the Blue Jays pitching is much different than Ryu on opening day. So these guys need to start getting those bats together. One game, what are you going to do? It was nice to see the fans out there. It was nice to see some of the, you know, the traditions of opening day. Bernie throwing out the first pitch. That was good stuff. So looking forward to the weekend, and seeing our guys pitch. We got Kluber throwing on Saturday. And then on Sunday, Herman Montgomery on Monday against the Orioles. So we will get back to our programming next week. We're starting the new schedule of what we're going to be rolling out during the regular season. We'll talk about more. Talk about that on the Monday release show that we're gonna record on Sunday. So enjoy this one, guys. It's a little bit of a different feel, but a lot of fun. These guys are really good. If you're Knicks fans, definitely go check them out. John Macri is really good on the mic, and he has some pretty epic rants, to be honest, on Twitter. And he does they do a YouTube as well, and I believe they also have a newsletter. So check them out if you're Knicks fans as well. Knicks Film School. All right, guys, I will talk to you on Monday. Go Yankees.
Joining me now on the Knicks Film School podcast, I'm full transparency. I'm very excited to do this one because, as you know from listening to the show, I talk about the Knicks basically 24/7. So when I get an opportunity to kind of still talk about the Knicks, but also not really talk about the Knicks and branch out a little bit, it's exciting for me. And well, if you're listening to this podcast, I have a feeling you're going to enjoy this one. He is the king of all things New York Yankees. He is the founder of Bronx Pinstripes. You could hear him on the Bronx Pinstripes show. He is also a friend of the Blue Wire Podcast Network, which is how we got him here today. The one and only Scott Reinen. Scott, how are you, sir?
Doing well, fellas. Thank you for having me on. I really do appreciate this. Yeah, it's good. A lot of Yankees fans are Knicks fans. I think a lot of Knicks fans are Yankees fans. Maybe not all, but there are some, and maybe not even any on this podcast. I don't know.
Well, we're gonna get into that. So obviously, you know, we're having you on because the baseball season starts in. Well, let's see. This podcast is dropping on Wednesday. When I should know this. When is opening?
Thursday at 1, baby. We got season. The season is starting on time, which is just a great thing to see considering what last year was.
Did you? I'm gonna already divert off course. Did you expect it to start on time, or is this a little bit of a surprise for you?
Yeah, I think so. I think this year they seem to have ducks in a row a little bit more, right? I mean, it wasn't new, I guess, whereas last year it was new. Last year, this time, I think it was March 14th, the Saturday, we had, we do some events and we had the George Steinbrenner Field. We had 200 people coming to a game down there at spring training with bullpen club up top reserved for 200 people up there. And we had to cancel the event like 2 days before that. So it was a wild time. They were adjusting on the fly this year. You know, they've gotten some time underneath them where they can adjust to the protocols. And, you know, hopefully some of these guys are getting their vaccinations as well. So hopefully we will see a full season.
I hope so too. I mean, look, baseball is, this is the mecca of basketball. It's part of why I love to do this podcast. But like, I'm the son of a man who worships Mickey Mantle. This is a baseball town. It's always going to be a baseball town, I think, first and foremost. And we'll talk about that a little bit more later. But it's a big deal when a new baseball season starts. So I'm excited. I'm happy. It's probably going to get off, hopefully without a hitch. Before we get into the nitty gritty of some of the, maybe the interplay between these teams and the fan bases and all that kind of stuff. How are you feeling about the Yankees going into this year? That's probably a good place to start as any.
Yeah, definitely. I'm excited. Again, I think the majority, you said it right. Like, baseball is the start of a new sports year. Just in general, yeah. You have springtime, you have baseball. It's just the sounds, they're different than other sports. They're just a little different. And I think we all grew up with baseball as being that romanticized sport more than probably any, because of the outdoor, because of the fact that we all play young, and you know, it's very much a family game that's passed down. You watch it with your family. You do a lot of different things that have to do with getting together. So that alone, because of last year, I put it on a pedestal even more, right? Because I missed it every year of my life. I've had that, except for that one time. And it was just very strange. So I'm very excited. The Yankees specifically, I think they have an opportunity to go out and win a World Series this year. I think that's what they try to do every single year, obviously. But this team is ready to go. They were ready to go last year. They were ready to go the year before that. They should be ready to compete on a yearly basis. The Yankees, the ownership, the Steinbrenners put them in a position, I think, to do that. And it's a matter of just coming through in these clutch moments. It's a matter of having enough depth. They've been riddled with injuries over the past few years, as of, you know, a bunch of clubs, but the Yankees really have been hit hard. So they found some depth pieces. You know, they found some guys that I think they didn't expect to come out and to be major contributors. And then there was a youth movement really kicking off in 2016 with the new wave of homegrown Yankees that we were getting, which is just fun. I think one of my biggest joys in when I'm watching the game is watching some of the young guys develop, and the homegrown guys, of course, like those are the ones you root for the most. It's like having a guy drafted, like that's the guy you're rooting. That's your guy. So, I'm excited for it. The pitching staff's going to be interesting. They have a bunch of veterans sprinkled in with Garrett Cole and a couple young guys too that could make an impact. And then the offense is loaded. I mean, if they stay healthy, they're going to be up there with anybody. So I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be a lot of fun.
So you just said something that is, I think, a lot of Knicks fans can appreciate. And you just said something that, as a Knicks fan, I can't relate to, no matter how hard I could possibly try. The youth movement thing, in terms of like, that's been really fun for you. Like I've spoken about it on this podcast a few times, like the 2018-19 Knicks season, which if you remember it, God bless you, cause you shouldn't. They won 17 games and but we had Mitchell Robinson, who's obviously now hurt, which sucks, but like he was coming up, he was doing exciting stuff. They had Frank Ntilikina here, who was drafted the year before. Last year, we got RJ Barrett. It's like, I'm with you on that one. There is something about when you draft a kid and the kid comes up in your system that's awesome. The other part of it, when you said the Yankees, it's the Yankees. We expect to win the World Series every year. We try to win the World Series every year. That is such a foreign concept to myself, to most Knicks fans. I don't even know how to relate to that. Like, we're sitting here watching the season, and as Andrew was just talking about before, we're sitting here, we're 24 and 23 as we record this. It's been a really fun time for Knicks fans. For Yankee fans, I'm just wondering, it's like, there's now been, I guess, four straight pretty disappointing playoff finishes. Like, how is the fan base, like, general? I know you're excited, clearly. How is the fan base feeling about the Yankees? How is the fan base feeling about being Yankee fans right now?
I mean, everybody's in a good place. The Yankees signed Garrett Cole last year, right? At that point, the best pitcher in baseball up there with probably Jacob deGrom is the best two pitchers in baseball. But you're looking at, in 2016, when they went out and decided to make a very un-Yankee move, and they traded people away at the deadline, which doesn't happen with the New York Yankees. And then you have this youth movement of guys who are coming up and actually playing much better than you expected. You expect them to not, the expectations are low. And that's a big deal in New York, I think, having the expectations, understanding where they are, and then your feeling towards whatever that season is. But we had Gary Sanchez coming out, looked like Babe Ruth hitting the ball, coming out of the gate. I mean, the dude was literally on a Babe Ruth tear. It was ridiculous. So you had some of these new guys coming up and you felt it. It was something exciting. 2017, I think when you see all those young guys, you're expecting them 2 years, 3 years, maybe that's the window, like 3 years, 2 years, they could compete at that point. But in 2017, I love the roster in 17 because they had a construction of young guys, veteran guys, very similar to the early construction of those 90s teams when you saw, you know, the young guys of that era coming up, the Jeters, the Bernies, the, you know, that world. And then they sprinkled in the veteran players that were not only complimentary, but a few superstars as well, but they gelled, they worked really well. The construction felt similar with Matt Holliday and Todd Frazier and Judge and Sanchez and these guys. So they played better, I think, in 17 and had a better year than anybody expected. And that was fun. That was a lot of fun coming back in Cleveland to win that series. And then, of course, losing to the Astros in the ALCS, which looking back hurts even more, understanding what that opportunity could have been and what should have been. So at that point, like now your 2 to 3 window, your window is out the door, right? It's gone. Yeah. Now you're like, okay, we got to win. We just tasted it. We know it's that time. They can do this. Yeah. They lost, you know, at the end here and we're ready to go. So now expectations are lofty. They go out and sign Gerrit Cole. You better compete for a World Series. And I think at this point, anything less is a disappointment.
I'm just hearing you talk about the construction of the rosters. And so I was a massive Yankee fan in the late 90s and into the early 2000s. And I remember those teams well, and just reflecting back as I'm hearing you talk about it, I never thought for a second like, oh, we have the kids, but at the same time, we have like the right veterans that have been brought in. You just brought it up that that's still something that obviously goes on in baseball now. In the NBA, it's weird because there's this, I don't know if it's a talking point or if it's a legit thing that like you have to be on the same timeline. Like all your whole team has to be on, like if like the Knicks right now, their best players, I would argue are 20, 21 and 26, right? If they went this summer and signed, you know, 32-year-old DeMar DeRozan, I'm just pulling a name out of my rear end, like people would be up in arms because they're like, he's 32. RJ Barrett's 20. Like, how does this work? That doesn't seem like people in baseball care about that. You're just putting together the best roster possible, right?
Yeah, well, I think with the young guys in baseball, it's different, right? Because it takes so long for them to get to the major leagues. You understand where your window of opportunity is, and there's 9 guys on the field, and then you have pitchers behind them, and it's just such a big roster that you have to have these complementary pieces that have their own little role. Whereas I think in basketball, you know, you have your starting five, and then you have the bench. I understand that. You do. I think the young guys, it's hard to win in the NBA as a young guy consistently. Yeah. So you have your veteran guys. And if you bring in and spend too much money on a guy with other players that haven't developed into that type of player who can win in the playoffs and deep into the playoffs and play for that championship, then you're like, what are we doing? Why are we wasting our shots at this point? So at that point, you're looking at almost development until those guys are ready to go and really compete. And at that moment, you surround them with the people. And that's why I have a feeling you see all these super teams. These guys are all just at this point ready to go. And they want to band together. I mean, unfortunately, the Nets were the one of the prime examples of how that doesn't work. Yeah. But, you know, you see it's different because I think there's smaller windows of opportunity in basketball, whereas baseball, it's such a longer play for development that you have those opportunities and you better, you know, plug them in when you have young guys ready to compete in their mid 20s. You better plug around guys who are ready to win and know how to win. I think it's a different animal.
Yeah. And, you know, obviously the Yankees have, I would argue, towed that line as well as anyone in baseball over the last, what, 2.5 decades now. Do you get the sense that like Yankee fans still appreciate regular season success? Again, referencing the Knicks, like it's all, in some ways that like this is the most fun season I think in some ways that we've had in the last 20 years. I know Andrew has some opinions on 2012-13, which whatever, it's one of the two most fun seasons of the last 20 years. And again, we're sitting here talking about this. We're a game over 500. Is it just like, is it so expected now from Yankee fans? Like we're just going to win whatever, 95 games, or is it still fun?
It's a tough question. I think it depends who you ask, to be honest. And again, I think it goes back to expectations. You guys you've been demoralized for a long time as Knicks fans, right? Like you're like, what's going on here? You have the opportunity for that to happen. Look, we'll get to our teams later, but I I'm also a Jets fan. Unfortunately, like there's things that have happened to me that have been, I've been tortured. There's a tortured past here with some things. So
there are things that have happened to me. That is talk about it on a t-shirt for Jets fans.
I've gotten very angry. I'm an emotional fan. So the answer is yes. There's definitely a level of expectations now. And I think as a younger fan, also you want to win every single game. As I'm getting older, I'm not going to say as an older fan, but as I'm getting older and I have a kid who's three and a half years old now. And I'm like seeing different sides of it. I've been covering the team for 10 plus years. It just looks different. And I appreciate the smaller things about the team, I think. And so I like watching the development. I like the intricacies of baseball and watching some of these guys go through the different phases that they go through in a season. So I like that part of it. But there's definitely an expectation to win. And the regular season definitely gets longer and longer and longer and longer until last year when it was shorter. But the 162, you expect the Yankees to be there at the end. So yes, some games, while they all count the same in April and May, don't feel the same as they do in, post All-Star break. But there's an expectation to win for sure.
I think, because of that, I'm almost wondering... Is it easier for fans when like you lose a game or you lose a couple of games or you have a 2-5 week to put the target on a particular play? Like we have Elfrid Payton, right? As Knick fans, I don't know if you know who Elfrid Payton is. Again, if you don't know who Elfrid Payton is, God bless you. he's the starting point guard for the team. He's not very good. But like this happened, we just had a Miami game where was it his fault they lost the game? No. Did I go on a rant comparing Elfrid Payton to dirty underwear after the game? Yes, I did.
It went down an interesting path. I have a mother that goes the same. It would do the same thing. While it went down a weird path, I understand what you're saying.
You appreciate it. That makes me happy. Is there a guy like that for Yankee fans who, if things are going poorly, it doesn't even matter how good of a game or a bad game he had. You're just like, he's going to get the shit.
There's a lot of guys that you can place that blame on again with a bigger roster, I think, but it goes down to who we're paying the most, I think, really.
Is it Giancarlo Stanton? Is that?
Easy scapegoat, easy scapegoat because he's getting paid an insane amount of money. Gerrit Cole, while he is not an easy scapegoat because he's getting paid because he just doesn't do badly. The guy's just phenomenal. So it's hard to identify him as one of those people. If he's not shutting guys out, like you're like, what's going on here? He's that type of guy, but he's very meticulous. Stanton, on the other hand, can look lost at the plate and you see the amount of money and look lost. But at other points, you remember like the guy when he's locked in a good place, he's lethal. So, and we saw that at the end of last year. Stanton's a great one. Gary Sanchez very much is a scapegoat, big scapegoat, a guy that shows all the potential in the world. Again, like I said, 2016 came out, guns blazing, ready to go, and just hasn't. 2017, good year, but has definitely had some terrible years on top of that. So when you see expectations, for me, it's more the guys that have the potential and then don't live up to it drive me nuts. They drive me insane. The guys that have the physical abilities, the tools ready to go. And you're like, why is this not working? This should be working. Why is it not working? And those drive me insane.
Yeah, no, I could appreciate that. We've had a few of those pass through the garden over the years. One thing you guys haven't had to deal with for seemingly forever, 2.5 decades is finding a new person to call the shots because Brian Cashman has been at this now for, I believe, 26 years. In the NBA, we have Pop with San Antonio. This is, I think it's his 26th year. Wow, they might have come in the same year. Andrew, you want to look that up? Because I feel like that would be interesting. But like you talk about Greg Popovich in NBA circles, and it's like he's beyond revered. He's revered in San Antonio. I think he's revered just in general, like any NBA city. And I feel like just again, from my vantage point, kind of an outsider looking in, Cashman isn't quite held in that regard. Is that like because he has the open checkbook or am I misreading it? Is he actually held in like, or do Yankee fans want him like on the way out?
No, I mean, I think Yankee fans are good with cash. You get your little side arguments against him. I mean, you could talk about the fact that when he trades for pitching, it's not usually done in a way that works out for the Yankees. He's had opportunities to really make his mark on the pitching side of things through via trade and hasn't really, you know, found that window. In fact, he's had some pretty terrible trades, but there's been some good stuff that's happened as well.
Do you have a worst one? Is there like
there's a couple worst ones. Yeah. The off the top of my head. So the Michael Pineda for Jesus Montero was a number one prospect coming up at a time where there just weren't very many good prospects for the Yankees.
Catcher, both, right? Catcher prospect.
He was a catcher. Yep. But some would say he was probably better to be at the end of his career. He was fighting ice cream guys in the stands like that. That was the relationship when he went to Seattle, but that was for Michael Pineda. It didn't work out on either side of it. But you look at some of the Sonny Gray is another really it just didn't work out. But you look at what they gave up for him. It really wasn't anything that amounted to anything else on the other side. So he's just missed on some. But there's also been some good, position players. And also, I don't think across baseball that when you look at the GMs, there's as much I don't think it's looked in the same light in baseball as it is in basketball. I feel like the basketball fan, the hardcore basketball fans, like very much know what's happening on all the other teams. Whereas baseball, you could be a hardcore baseball fan in a given city and really just not have a full landscape of what's happening across the league. So many teams, so many games. I don't think it's as much. I think Brian Cashman among GMs has one of the best reputations and has, a solid reputation across baseball for sure. And he came up with, under Gene Stickmichael, who was the architect of those 90s teams. So there's an organizational, he started as an intern. Like he's got the story that came up through the Yankees and he's been there through a lot of the good times. And then, this lull since, 2009, but I think he's got a very good reputation overall.
Yeah. And thank you, Andrew. He just looked it up. So Cash technically took over in 98, but he was, like you said, he was in the organization before that. So it's like, it's interesting because he came up like in the midst of the championships, but they weren't his teams that he built. So really he only has one. Is that how it's looked at by Yankee fans that he only has one? That's only one is like really his championship, or is that not how people see it?
Well, I think the early teams for sure were Stickmichael. Everybody kind of understands that Stickmichael was a big reason why those teams were put together in the way that they were. So yeah, you look at some of the bigger moves that Cashman made. Looking at when CC came over, they really made a run there. Brian McCann. That's a big legacy for him and he needs to back it up for sure. And with this young crop of talent, that's why everybody at this point, they're getting older. We're getting out of arbitration. We're about, ready to either, offer large contracts to these guys or not. They got to win. Like this is a big 2-year window for the next, for Brian Cashman and for Aaron Boone, because they have this talent ready to go.
Aaron Boone is good manager.
It depends who you ask. I think he's all right. He's fine. I mean, he doesn't do anything. I think that at this point in baseball, a lot of these guys are such relationship driven managers. Okay. There's so many decisions being made with the nerds, as we say, in the tunnel, as all the stats are really, making these decisions for these guys or influencing them in a heavy way. So you look at what the actual impact of a guy is when you're, I go to the playoffs, I start looking at these big games and understand like, okay, do you have a pulse for when a guy's ready to come out? Are you looking at just numbers? Look at last year with Kevin Cash pulling Blake Snell in game 6 when he was ready to go. He was cruising and he was at a specific, pitch count in an inning and he pulled him because that's what they do. Doesn't matter there's no eye test. It's just what they do. And I think there's too many of these guys that unfortunately fall under that path. And Boone's trying to, I think, establish himself as a guy that he can make these decisions. And I think he's getting better at it. But, I think that he's made some bonehead decisions too. He made some really big bonehead pitching decisions that just, you see the inexperience a lot. Okay. So I'm okay with him though right now. I don't think I don't think we could do that much better or that much worse, to be honest.
a ringing endorsement if there ever was one. Two-parter now. I'll preface this by saying the Knicks, again, just played the Heat. How old am I? I'm 37 years old. So I like, for me, it depends. You can always tell the age of a Knicks fan if you ask them who's the Knicks' biggest rival. Cause you get like, if someone's older, over 40, actually, no, if you get someone that's over like 50, I feel like it's gonna be the Celtics. If you get someone that's like a few years older than me, it's gonna be the Bulls. You get someone right around my age, maybe a little bit younger, it's gonna be the Heat or the Pacers. So for me, it was those rivalries. I haven't felt the rivalry in 20 years. I'll just be honest, like, because we've sucked. And like the little bit of time that we were good, there wasn't enough time to develop those rivalries again. Now it feels like we're starting to develop it again, a little bit with Miami. We'll see what, maybe with Brooklyn will come up. One, who is the Yankees' biggest rival right now? And two, I can tell you're confident about the team this year, but who is the team that you fear the most for the Yankees in this baseball season?
So you're right. The rivalries, well, they change, and it depends on who you're asking based on the age, when you started watching it. So the obvious answer, the easy answer here would be the Red Sox, yeah. But it's not the case. That's definitely not the biggest rival really on the field anymore, because they're, you know, I think unfortunately you go back to, you know, 2004 when the Red Sox came back and they won and they beat the Yankees and they came back from a 3-0 deficit. And then they went and they won the World Series, and they won a couple more World Series. At that point, there was just a different feeling between the teams. The Red Sox had won, whereas before the Yankees had always won. There was never an opportunity when the Yankees didn't win. They always you know, flushed it out and beat the Red Sox. When you get that little bit of a taste of winning, it's the rivalry feels different at that point, right? And then you go through a period of time where a team's not good and it dies out. It just dies out because it's not as much fun. It's not heated anymore. And the players have all moved on. So now you're in a new group of players and you're trying to establish those same feelings with the same guys, but you can tell that they don't feel it as much on the field. And that definitely comes through, I think.
Yeah.
So I'd say right now, you know, 2 years, it's the Astros were definitely the team. In 2017, I hated the Astros more than I hated anybody. Then the whole scandal thing came. I hated them even more with a much larger disdain for very different reasons. I like to respect my rival because it's more fun and they're good. But at the same time, there's a special type of hatred that lives between the lines that you can muster up.
Can I ask, is that Yankee specific? I know it's not Yankee specific because I know all of baseball hates the Astros to a certain extent, but do you think the Yankees and Yankee fans hate them like more than any other fan base?
Yes. Yes, absolutely. The Astros got rid of the Yankees in 2017 when they were, again, not expected that year, but as the playoffs went on, you felt it. They were playing well. They came back against Cleveland. They took it to Houston. They won games they were not supposed to win at that point. And then it was over, and the Astros beat them. And you look back at that window and how that could have changed what 2018 was, what 2019 was with the Yankees after a team that if they win that series, let's say they don't have the cheating scandal, they don't know the pitches that are coming, and the Yankees come out and they go to the World Series, very good chance they win that World Series. Now that's a different team, right? A different feeling. They've won an ALCS. They've won a World Series, or even getting to a World Series.
As kids, as young players.
As kids. I mean, talk about the level of confidence you have now as a player going into that next year. And there's who knows how the history books change if that's the case. But I do think it does change. I think that you could see the Yankees going on a bit of a run there. And yeah, so that it when you look back at how that happened, now that we know, it stings. It does. There's no doubt. So, and the fact that they just don't shut up and they downplay it and they just keep talking about it like it's nothing. It's like, what are you doing? You cheated. We all know. We know you did it. And they're just arrogant as all hell. So yeah, we don't like them. And I say we as a fan base.
Well said.
Tampa's getting up there though. Tampa is definitely a team that is. They've gotten good, man. They're also very, they're not top heavy. They're pesky. They're balanced all the way through. They got no name guys coming out that are throwing 100 miles an hour. The stable of horses that they say they had in their bullpen. They're very good. And even though they lost, Charlie Morton and Blake Snell, two top of their the top line pitchers that they had, I expect them to turn it over and probably produce two guys that will fit the bill and they'll be there at the end. So I think that's probably their biggest in-division rival as well. And probably their biggest, you know, deterrent from winning the AL East too.
Okay. Is there anybody in the NL you're already thinking about, or you're not even worried about that yet?
I tend to not worry. I mean, the Dodgers obviously are just insanely stacked. The team is so good, pitching, hitting, everything. It's hard to find a weakness on that team. The Mets have a damn good team this year too, so we'll see what happens.
I was waiting to hear when they were going to come up. I figured
it's true Yankees fan fashion. We're just waiting for the shoe to drop, to be honest. But we'll see what happens. They have a good team. They have a good pitching. They have a good pitching staff. And they got some good,
I'm watching Andrew as he's listening.
I know, so am I. I'm more talking for the reactions, in all honesty. But
keep it going. It's great. Yeah,
great. It's they have a good team. When you have a guy like DeGrom at the top of your rotation, and you know, now they have you know, their shortstop, hopefully of the future. We'll see if they can lock him up. But they have a dynamic team. They really do, and they have good balance. Again, they have that good balance of young guys and veterans, I think, so they could make some noise. It's a tough division though.
And $385 million. That's what my Metropolitan newsletter told me this morning.
That's what I saw. The counter, the 12-year counter.
That's would that be the biggest contract in baseball history, or is there?
It's up there. I don't know. Bryce Harper's was massive. Machado's was massive.
You mind if I jump in here?
Yeah, please. Yeah,
go ahead. So right after Harper signed his, it was literally a week later. So Harper's was 13 for 330.
And that sounds
it took,
right.
Took like that whole offseason. A week after, because Boris was holding out to make him the highest paid player ever. And he was. And a week later, Mike Trout got an extension for $430 million.
Oh, that's right.
Exactly $100 million more. Which is why Lindor has this... Well, I should be getting that. I want to get an extension until he's 40, which you talk about the shoe dropping. You don't even have to wait for it. Mets fans our PTSD is even worse because we're waiting for that shoe to drop as well and expecting it regardless of who the new owner is or who the new managers or who good trades are being made. So,
yeah, you guys have been hurt. Mm-hmm. And it's a similar, you know, as a Jets fan, I'm just waiting. I know even if they do the right thing, I'm expecting them to screw it up in a new way somehow.
See, that's where we relate there, Scott. Cause like as a Jets fan, regardless of what they do this offseason, whether they keep Darnold or take Zach Wilson and then trade Darnold, or they make the big trade for Deshaun Watson, which obviously has other complications now, it's gonna go wrong. Like, Watson will be suspended for life. Wilson will end up being Ryan Leaf. Darnold will, if he stays here, he'll be a bust. If he goes someplace else, he'll win the Super Bowl next year. That's what's going to happen.
You have PTSD, right, man.
Until we see something different, that is what's going to happen. The trend has stopped.
Exactly. Yeah. Yes, hence why we're enjoying just a 24 and 23 Knicks season.
Exactly.
No expectations whatsoever.
Yeah, it makes sense.
This is a good time. So to do this, I'm really excited to do this. So John Jastrzemski, formerly of WFAN, he's now with the Ringer. I think him and Bill Simmons did a ranking of the eight New York teams on a pod like a month or so ago. We have some different allegiances. So actually, before I do this, can I... I haven't done a good old fashioned confessional on this podcast in a while. Scott, can I bore you for a minute with a little confessional?
Please do. Because when we talk about eight teams, it hurts my soul a little bit as well. So
I was raised a Yankee fan. Like I said, my dad worshiped Mickey Mantle. You know, like worship. We all have stories about our people in our family, like Mickey Mantle was this guy. So like there was no choice. I was going to be a Yankee fan. And it was great because I was for 96, I guess I was 13 years old. So you could do the math. And then like stuck with it all through the 2000s. I remember the World Series well. And then my life started to get busy and do some other shit. And like, I was finishing up law school and like whatever. And like, I didn't have that much time to pay attention to baseball. And the team was just, it was boring. It was boring as all hell for a few years there. And I just kind of fell out of favor with baseball in general, but specifically the Yankees. I'm like, I don't enjoy watching that. And I think that speaks to me as a sports fan. And I'm like,
you know, I feel like old school baseball heads always talk about how like this is a sport for like real sports fans, as opposed to someone like me who's like, I need the bouncing ball to always be doing something. So anyway, this is a long way of saying I got a little bit more to baseball. And then I met my wife, who is a diehard Met fan, born and raised Met fan. Oh, and we got engaged. It was right as, you know, at that point, I guess it was the big, well, it was Harvey. It was DeGrom. It was Syndergaard. It was Mats. And I'm forgetting, Wheeler. How could I forget that? So I kind of then adopted the Mets, and we watched, you know, before we had a kid, we like watched the Mets all summer. So I just wanted to preface this conversation by admitting that. And I realized that I have lost the respect of every one of my listeners, Mets fans, Yankee fans. But I just wanted to say that, and I wanted that to be out in the open before we do this. So with that in mind, I would now like us to rank the eight teams in terms of, well, how should we do this, Andrew? How do you think in terms of fan devotion, so, relevance, allegiance, like what are we ranking here?
If it's a power rankings, the thought I had, because the reason I suggested this to you, John, that pod with Jastrzemski and Simmons was so infuriating because Simmons has been in LA since 2000. So he thinks he knows what's happening on the East Coast. That is, it's like, oh yeah, this is absolutely how like the Nets are coming and they're going to take over. And then Jastrzemski just kind of went along with it. And I thought two people who actually cover New York teams can actually fill in the blank of this is a blank town, Yankee town, Knick town, and in that order. So if you wanted to do it with the qualifications being team wins a championship, how big is the parade, and go in order of crowd size, that is how I think is the best way to do it.
Ooh, that's an interesting one.
Well, let's start with this. Is there any discussion about who the top, there's no discussion about who the top team is. It's the Yankees.
It's the Yankees.
I am inclined to say the Giants are second.
I think it's a clear number two, to be honest.
Say it.
Well,
hold on. I have to get one caveat here. I grew up in North Jersey, so I'm from Bergen County. There are other teams in play for me. Like I grew up a huge Devils fan. So that was like a big play for me. We'll get to hockey. I understand nobody cares about hockey, Boomer, but when you're looking at a Giants team, you get New York and New Jersey, right? You have two, you're pulling from both places. If there's a New Jersey team, you're not getting people from New York that are going to be a Devils fan. It's not happening.
Yeah.
There are split things. So I understand the Giants. I think it's the Knicks.
Do you really?
Because the Knicks fan base is so diehard that they have been bad for a long time. I don't have to tell you guys this or anybody listening to this podcast, but the appetite for a good Knicks team is so, it seems, I can feel it. Like it's so dire, like it's needed in so many people's soul that I don't think it's the same as any other team. Like I really think that it runs so deep with the Knicks fans that would, if the Knicks were to win a championship next year, that parade would be stupid. And I think it would be way bigger than a Giants parade.
I mean, I wouldn't remember the parade because I'd be so drunk. Right. But
you have to wear like a GoPro.
Yes. here's the reason why my inclination was to say the Giants. I get emails and DMs all the time from older Knicks fans who talk to me and they're like, I've been a season ticket holder for X amount of years. Like I remember watching Frazier. I remember watching Monroe. I remember like this and that. And they're sent in to me is like, I've gotten them like kind of back interested in the team a little bit, which I love to hear that. Nothing makes me happier. But by the same token, the implication is that they have lost interest in the team, and who the hell could blame them for losing interest in the team? And I think there's a lot of people out there like that who then had kids. And if they've had kids over the last 20 years, they weren't raising their kids as like diehard Knicks fans. They were just like, the kids were going to do what the kids want to do, as opposed to the Giants and the Giants have been bad a lot over the last 20. I mean, they have the two Super Bowls, but they've also been a lot of bad. It's only 16 games a year. So like you can get, like you could be a Giants household, doesn't matter how much they suck for, I mean, you could tough it out for 16 days a year. Whereas if the Knicks are bad, you start off the, and you know they're bad and you're someone who used to watch the Knicks in the 90s or the 70s or whatever, like you're not going to give a shit past the first week or 2 weeks. Like that's my only rationale for saying that I think, and the reason it, and that's how I think Giants fandom has persevered more through generations. I don't know if I'm making this point. Maybe you just disagree with me, but I hope I'm making the point clearly.
No, I think it makes a lot of sense. I think it's very close between the two of them. I think
it's close.
We're talking about
it's
like a championship next year, and we're looking at what the two teams, because of the Giants have won, they've seen it. It's not as
It's
in relatively recent history, whereas
that's
the fair. Knicks have not. And it's something that would be, I don't know. I think the city, you see how the city comes out for when there's a 500 team. Like imagine if they were, you know, well beyond 500, what the city would be like. And I think that you that's when you start to see like the bars start, you know, in a normal world,
yeah,
COVID, non-COVID world, you start to see the bars go nuts for games for the Knicks. And it's happening not just on Sundays, but it's happening throughout. So there's more opportunity for that discovery as well for new fans. And I think the city becomes alive, and I feel like you could definitely capture a lot of new fans as well. But those old ones, the ones that have been waiting for a long time, this is like, you know, this is when they go to the nun who's, you know, been living for however long. They're like, we got to see this championship. So I think it's close though. I really do. I think you could flip flop either one of those.
So let's call Knicks 2A, Giants 2B. Fourth place, got to be the Mets, right? Right.
I have the Mets on my list. I do.
Okay.
It gets interesting from here, I think, because
Andrew just made a face. I don't know.
I think no, the Mets fans, they come out. There's no doubt that they have there's a big fan base, and I think the parade would be big. But yeah, so I have Mets. I have Mets okay. as well. I do.
I think we all agree
it's
on
a baseball
Mets.
Town. Like you said earlier, I think at the end of the day, it is a baseball town. There's two clear teams here that have very loyal and dedicated fan bases. Whereas basketball, I think, is a little different.
Yes. Well, we're getting to the other basketball team. Jets fifth. Do we need to have a Rangers discussion? Has anyone ever? Do people have Rangers discussions anymore? Do people talk about hockey?
Well, I think it's in a similar vein. I don't know. I'm not sure. That's also the team that fell off. The sport that fell off for me. It was basket. I used to be a big Nets fan growing up in the days of the Brendan Byrne. Like I was one of 10 people in the Brendan Byrne shouting to my boys on the other side and they could hear me. And then the Devils, I was a huge Devils fan. So those were my teams. But when you look at, the Rangers do have a very dedicated fan base. I think is also they're yearning for the next championship as well. But yeah. I think the Jets, in a similar vein, you're capturing Long Island. You get a lot of Jersey. I think the Jets would be bigger. So I do have the okay. Jets after the Mets.
So we got Jets fifth, Rangers sixth, which leaves us with the Islanders and the Nets.
I put Devils on my list out of respect.
Out of respect.
Out of respect.
I'll say it. The Nets deserve billing over the Islanders.
It's the Nets, but I don't know who's coming to that parade. That's the problem here. I have been out of the loop as far as like the hardcore Nets fan. So what was it? 2012, 13 when they went over? Was that was the year, right? When they left Jersey. The way that they did it rubbed me wrong. The way that they did it rubbed me wrong. The way that they was just like, eh. It was just like, eh, forget about what's happening. You know, they're bringing back the jerseys now, trying to like reinvigorate yeah. that fan base. I don't know. It didn't sit well with me at the time and wherever I was in my life at that time as well. It didn't sit well with me. So I was not like at that point. I was a big Nets fan growing up, but at that point I was okay with leaving it. Right, like I didn't follow them over. But I'm curious who goes to that parade. Like, how's that parade huge? Is it people from Brooklyn? Is it people from Jersey? Is it a mix? What is it?
I'll say this. I made a joke at the Nets expense a few weeks ago.
I saw your video about that. The whole fan base. So it's an interesting dynamic. It is.
They're getting fans. I think they are getting some fans in Brooklyn, but to your point, like, the institutional knowledge, I don't know if that's the right term for it, but it's just, is it a fifth of Knicks fandom or for that matter, Jet fandom or any of these other teams that we're talking about? I don't know. But it's interesting to hear you talk about how it rubbed you the wrong way. Because I could see that. Andrew, any closing thoughts on the list?
Okay. So, John,
yes,
the Knicks parade would be 5 times the size of the Giants parade, just flat out. The Knicks haven't won a championship since 1973, and there's more Knicks fans than I think. Like, the Knicks are the Cowboys.
Maybe because I'm like in my close knit group of, there's my friends that I have through the Knicks community, and mm-hmm. then there's like my friends that I've had throughout my entire life, and then my family and friends. Nobody gives, I'm the only one who gives a shit about the Knicks.
But you opened, care about, you know, opened this show talking to Scott about how fun the 2018-2019 season was, where they won 17 games. That's what Knicks Film School like took off during a season. They won 17 games because people care about this team to an irrational like level.
You're complaining.
But is it a niche?
Yeah, that's that too.
But is it a niche? That's what I always come back
this
to.
This is a niche list.
No, but I'm saying in terms of like, it depends how we're characterizing the list. Is it just like the total, is it how deeply the most intimate group of fans care, or is it about the most people that care? And it doesn't matter if they care the most or you know, like there's different ways to define this. And that's why I think it's an interesting conversation.
Well, I'd actually go to Scott then and ask, is there any argument to put the Knicks over the Yankees that the Knicks would be one?
No.
You think no matter what, this is a Yankee town before it's ever a Knick town? I think
practically every Knicks fan is a Yankees fan for the majority of them. That's at least growing up. That's the way it was always Yankees, Knicks, Rangers, Giants. And then, you know, the flip side, some people get mixed up in the middle as I did with, you know, different relatives pushing you into allegiances by bringing you to games as young kids and ruining the rest of your football life. That's a completely side topic, but I think that the Yankees are the team in New York, but I really don't think the Knicks are all that far off. But Yankees fans come from Connecticut, they're upstate, yeah. They're coming from Jersey, yeah. They're coming from there. It's just a huge fan base because there are so many games also on a baseball, you know, schedule that there's more opportunities to become fans, I think.
My only counter would be that if you're a Yankee fan as long as you've been, you've seen 5 championships. So not that you get sick of it, but the immediacy of, oh my God, the Knicks actually did it, would actually create like a once in a lifetime thing.
No.
If
that's a different conversation though.
Right. So that's why parade side is what I went to.
It leads into this one for the Knicks and the Giants, because I think because of the situation, the Knicks would be much bigger. Do I think the fan bases are bigger for the Knicks, like larger or the Giants? They're probably close, but the excitement for a Knicks championship and a parade, if that's how we were doing it.
I think honestly, that
would be huge.
Forget New York. I actually don't think that there's another. Let me make sure before I mean, Cleveland Browns come to mind. But it's Cleveland.
That's a Cleveland thing. There are people that are Knicks fans in California that would lose their minds.
California, yeah. There are people who would fly, like that would travel days to be in New York for it. Like, I've talked about this on live streams. I get DMs from people in every country and every continent in the world all the time saying, you're my, you know, source for Knicks. And these people stay up until whether it's 2 a.m, 5 a.m, get up at, you know, or they're watching at 10 in the They're diehards. And I do think that a Knicks championship would be the biggest moment for any team in professional sports right now.
Then back to the point you guys made, this is absolutely a Yankee town. And it goes back to what's happened to Boston, because that was a Red Sox town, a Bruins town, a Celtics town for the longest time. Then sustained success by the Patriots turned that into a Patriot town. So the Yankees run in the late 90s. And to be honest, Scott, like the Yankees have never rebuilt in my life. That one season you talked about where they traded everybody in 2016, they won 85 games and almost made the wild card. That's your rebuilding, you know?
Well, they rebuild in the middle of a season. Yeah.
Right. Like it's the most frustrating thing. I've seen the Mets lose 95 games I'm not playing victim here.
I'm saying it was different and unique to the Yankees. And it was fun to watch because they don't ever make trades in the middle of the season. That like getting rid of, and they won those games because guys came up young mm-hmm. and played well, which was fun. They didn't trade for a guy. You know what I mean? Like they had their youth do it, which was a different thing. It was just different.
Well, then the only other thing I'd offer, and Scott, you can help me on this. Is there any way we put the Jets lower? Because I got very apathetic about that football team this year.
Possibly. I think the Rangers could go. I think the Rangers could hop over the Jets. I do think I could mm-hmm. see that happening. It pains me to say that because I grew up hating the Rangers more than any other team. I've never been like a New York fan to like not like the other team. Like I've never had a problem with the Mets. I've never had a problem with the Giants. I've never really had a problem with the Knicks. I didn't like some of the early 90s guys, but or the 90s guys. But I hated the Rangers. Stephon Matteau can I hated that team with a passion because it was like a civil war in our schools. Like it was very divided between Devils and Rangers growing up in North Jersey. It was very divided. It was very heated. So, and it was a time where both teams were good. So it doesn't happen that often.
I don't think it's funny you mentioned it. I don't think there's that dynamic between Giants and Jets fans. It's conversations about like who sucks more. Like no Giant or Jet fan is going to defend themselves to the other side.
As a Jets fan, you can't.
I don't even know if you can as a Giant fan. I don't follow
Giants
them up closely, but
Giants beat the Patriots twice in the Super Bowl. They're my heroes. Like I have no animosity toward the Giants.
Yeah. Same. I agree.
I don't think you could put the Jets lower and just because it's football. It has less to do with the Jets and more to do with football to me as opposed to
I agree with that.
Yeah.
I agree with that. Plus there's a yearning for it. And let me say one last thing on this topic, if you don't
mind.
Yeah. The Yankees Knicks thing. Don't forget it's been a while since the Yankees have won a championship too in Yankee world. So our fans, when you think about the expectations for Yankees fans, not the outside looking in, but the Yankees fans, it's been a long time. And it pains us. We need to win. So there's going to be that parade is also going to be nuts.
You
same, a lot of the same fans.
You just reminded me there is a, I don't know if it's a meme on Twitter of that. I think, I don't know who put it up. It's someone pointing out a bad Laker lineup from a few years ago before they got LeBron. And I don't know who the hell is in it. And talking about how the pain that they endured, all the way up to last season when the Lakers won it all. And I guess their last championship was 2010 with Kobe Bryant and Pau Gasol. And like Knicks fans predictably made fun of it because it's like, really? You know, we've seen some things. Do Yankee fans genuinely feel like they have had a hard go of things?
I don't think it's a hard go. I just think it's I think we're ready to just, I wouldn't say it's a hard go. That's not it. That's not the sentiment. It's
okay.
Cause I understand what that looks and feels like. But that being said, like they should have won. There's opportunities where they could have won. And when you look back to like after 2009, after they won and then there were opportunities missed, like there are opportunities missed. So it's a little bit of like all right, we're ready for the next one, but it's not like nobody's playing victim over here. I don't think it's not that. At least the people, the Yankees fans that will be, you know, real with you and not the ones that are just like spoiled, because there are spoiled Yankees fans. There's no doubt. But the hardcore ones, they understand that's not quite the sentiment, but we're ready for it. Like it doesn't temper the expectation or the excitement for when one does happen, and understanding that it hasn't happened in a while is, it makes it that much more exciting, I think.
All right. I'm going to end it with, I'm going to ask you for three predictions. I'm going to put you on the spot here. Prediction one is easy. Give me your World Series prediction. Prediction two, give me your prediction for MVPs in each league. And then last, Yankee specific, how do you think this Yankee pitching staff is going to work out? You referenced it a little bit before, talking about Cole and then everybody else after Cole. So give me your thoughts on those three.
All right. So Yankees win the World Series. Wouldn't be the homer that I need to be. I mean, they have the ability to do that. So of course, that's what I expect. I expect them to be for a World Series.
Over
the Dodgers. I think the Dodgers are so good on that side of things. It would be a dogfight, but I think that the Dodgers are very good as well. So it would be a fight, but that would be an epic World Series. Yankees, Dodgers. It's a classic that I think a lot of would be good for baseball. The Mets Yankees would be great too. I'll root for that. I'm good with that. Yankees Mets, like to me, when the city's alive with two teams, like that's a good time. Like,
yeah.
You want that rival to be up there. The second question was MVPs. Yeah. So I'll go Aaron Judge. If he's healthy, he's got the ability to be the MVP. If the Yankees are winning the World Series, you could definitely look at the Yankees to be, you know, have an MVP caliber player up there. And then on the other side, I mean, it almost feels like it's too easy, but Mookie Betts is the best player on a damn good team. I mean, like the amount of support he has in that Dodgers lineup now is insane. So I expect him to put up just massive numbers. If we're looking outside of Aaron Judge, you know, there's a number of guys that I think the White Sox are going to be a really good team. I wouldn't be surprised if Abreu put up another huge year and was right there as well. So I think that's another stacked team that's really, you know, ascending. What was the last question?
Yankee. Well, it sounds like you kind of already answered it because you think they're going to win the World Series. But I was asking how you think the Yankee pitching staff is going to work out behind Gerrit Cole.
Yeah, I think it's going to be like, I like the unknown a little bit for me because I didn't want to walk in with the same shit we've been watching for the past, you know, 3 years or so. So give me some new guys to get excited about. I'm good. I think Gerrit Cole is going to have a very good year. Severino, I think, is going to be coming back after the All-Star break. I'm excited to see him. Wouldn't even be surprised if he slotted in as like a back of the bullpen guy, depending on how the rotation was set up until that point.
Really?
He's done it before. Wouldn't surprise me. They're going to have an innings limit, a pitch limit on him anyway.
Okay.
So it would not surprise me depending on the timeline.
But he was like the best young pitcher in like the world.
It's been a long time. It's been a while.
Oh, wow. Okay.
You know, you have Tommy John and then a lost COVID year. It's like, there's been a gap. So who knows? Like you see guys that go through that and then don't really come back the same. You don't know. I hope he's a fixture in that rotation for years to come, but he's not going to be back probably till after the All-Star break anyway. So I think it depends on what that team looks like at that point and what they need. Okay. Also, I think I could see that being in consideration. But Corey Kluber, I mean, he's not the Cy Young Corey Kluber anymore. So I have, you know, I hope he just stays healthy and gives us, you know, some good innings. I don't think he's going to be a dominant pitcher by any means. I think Jameson Taillon is a guy to look out for. He's second Tommy John surgery, redone his mechanics a lot more. He's got a much shorter delivery in the back of his arm motion. And he looks really good. I mean, he's got the pedigree to be a damn good pitcher. I'm excited to watch him. He's got a really good story off the field, has overcome cancer. Like the guy's just one you root for, easy guy to root for, who is, you know, battling back from two Tommy John. So definitely excited to watch him. And then there's some young guys, Davey Garcia, Jordan Montgomery's coming back a first full year after Tommy John, could be very good. I think he's going to be a very good number three, you know, as we move on into the year. So I expect good things from him. Davey Garcia is a young kid, came up at the end of last year. He's fun to watch. He's got that little mini Pedro flair to him. But he also wears a 45 on his belt for Pedro. He's fun to watch. He's got the demeanor of a, you know, a crafty veteran, but he's a young kid, you know, 23, 24, 25 years old. So fun to watch. So I'm excited for them. It could go either way though. They could be destroyed with injuries at the same time in the first month.
But your excitement is like, I'm like, it's real. I could tell how excited you are.
Yeah. It's when you have the unknown, to me, is the most exciting thing. I like the unknown. I like the fact that developmental, there's kids that are coming up that are ready to make a mark. Like that's exciting for me.
Awesome.
It's a pure baseball part of me.
I'm going to watch some baseball this year. I'm saying it. I'm committing. I'm making a commitment. I'm going to do it.
No sewn jerseys in half of Yankees.
Oh, God, no. God, no. No, 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 no.
The confessional needs to stay in the confessional, not outwardly public. You know, we'll keep this all between us.
Look, I think I'd be a divorced man if I, if my house turned into a Yankee house. So it's going to be a Met house. But I will watch the Yankees because it sounds like they do have an exciting team. Yeah, what the hell? It's baseball, like you said, it's great. Andrew, anything else we forgot?
No, if it helps, Scott, if I could throw an olive branch. I also have the Yankees and the Dodgers in the World Series, and I think this is another year where I'll get to stop hearing 27 rings because it will be 28 rings now. So. I'll make that prediction now.
I understand what you're doing here, by the way.
Reverse jinx, baby.
You're not slick. You're not going under the radar here. What you're doing is you're you're again setting the, you're identifying the other shoe. It's going to drop. You expect that as a Mets fan. So anything that doesn't, that goes beyond that is great. It's gravy. It's beyond expectations. It's setting yourself up for a very good year. I understand it. It's smart. Uh-huh. I would do the same.
Being a Knicks fan has taught me that. And by the way, you mentioned that a Met Yankee World Series would be fun. I want no part of that. Why? Because remember how the last one went? You got to have fun during that. Watching,
I remember that one.
Derek Jeter throw out Timo Perez because he stopped running. Watching Todd Zeal hit 379 foot balls to the fence. If they had just gone 379 and a half foot, it's two home runs. No, it's now two outs instead. Okay, I'm ranting.
You're done.
I do think the Yankees are, I would be shocked if they're not a 100 game winner and deep into October next year.
Yeah, if the pitching holds up in the playoffs, they have an opportunity. That's a big piece of this. So we'll see.
Well, here's to good baseball from all the teams in New York. Scott, before we get out of here, can you please remind the folks at home where they could find you and your stuff?
Yeah, gentlemen, thank you very much. I appreciate this. It was a lot of fun. You can find me on Twitter at Scott Reinen, R-E-I-N-E-N, Bronx Pinstripes at Bronx Pinstripes. And then finally, our podcast is at Yankees Podcast, at Bronx Pinstripes across all the socials. So, gentlemen, this was a great time. I appreciate the efforts here. And I'm rooting for the Knicks. I really am. I hope they do well. I'm not a huge fan of the super teams, to be honest. Like, it feels dirty a little bit, if I'm being very honest.
It is dirty. It is dirty.
It feels a little, and it's weird. I think a Yankees fan saying that because of the amount of money that went to teams, but even those teams, I'd say, like, they feel different. They feel different when you have some homegrown guys. When you have guys that don't expect it, it's a sweeter taste. I'd say so. We'll see.
We shall see. I agree. This was a lot of fun. You've made me a smarter sports fan, which I appreciate. Andrew, thanks for chiming in as well. And everybody out there, thank you for listening to another episode of the Knicks Film School podcast. Feel free to drop us a review, a rating, tell your friends to take a listen, and they might enjoy it, whether they enjoy baseball or basketball. So even two for one. And we will see you with our next episode on Friday.
Hey guys, thanks for listening to the Bronx Pinstripe Show. Make sure you find us on iTunes and subscribe so you can get all new episodes directly onto your phone. If you do like the show, we'd love for you to take a minute and give us a 5-star rating and review in iTunes. It really helps us out and allows us to create more shows. We're on Twitter at Bronx Pinstripes and the same on Facebook. You can always find us there talking Yankee baseball. Thanks again, guys, for your support. Really appreciate it, and go Yankees.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.